Find his work for USA Today with either a copy of the paper. You could check it out online at USA Today. Follow on Twitter. Actually, it's usatoday.com. I just gave you their Twitter account. Follow on Twitter at George Schroeder. George, a good day to you, sir. How are things?
Life is good. We're, 25 hours away from the kind of the official kickoff. We had the soft launch of college football last weekend, although it was a hard landing for Oregon State. But it feels like college football is finally here. It's a good day.
I agree. Tick, tick, tick. A couple of things you wrote this past week. One of my favorite topics, the college football playoff. After each year, you always hear it's a matter of time. They're going to expand. Too much money. While I'm one of the people who think four should be etched like an 11th commandment. You quoted Bill Hancock, the executive director, saying they're not even discussing that, but be it the commissioner of the Mountain West or Big 12, apparently this isn't just lip service. We're not going to see a change anytime soon.
Yeah, well, I would say two things. One, Bill Hancock's a tremendous person, but he's also essentially the spokesman for the playoff. That's what he is. And he's going to say they're not going to eight, and they'll never go to eight until the morning that they go to eight. Okay,
right.
That's just his role. So, but when you talk around college football to the people that matter, the kinds of people who either will make that decision or can influence the people that make that decision, or at least know what the people are really thinking behind closed doors who will make that decision, there's zero impetus to move to eight at this point. And you know, look, we've only had 3 years. Maybe something changes in the next two or three years that makes it that way. But there were a good many of us, and I'm like you, I think it ought to be four, but there are a good many of us that thought it was inevitable that it was going to go to eight, and we figured, okay, it's a 12-year TV deal, a 12-year contract, probably somewhere about halfway through, you're going to see a move to go to eight. But we're now a quarter of the way through. This year will be the fourth. So it'll be a third of the way through, and there's zero impetus to even think about it. So I don't know that come year six or seven, it's going to be that much different.
Well, I'm happy for now. You also covered the value of bowl games in a separate piece over the weekend, and I think the common theory was a playoff would even further diminish those lesser games. You know, you mentioned this a couple weeks ago. We have twice as many bowl games now as 20 years ago. So with who you've spoken with, the consensus as far as maybe, you know, they're not going to eliminate, we're going to stay for now, and so, like you wrote, those that remain still reward, and to those involved in those games, they're not meaningless.
No, and they're not. And look, there's no doubt that below the New Year's Six level, that the bowl games have been further diminished by the playoff. When the diminishment sort of began with the BCS, there's no doubt that that's begun to happen, and that they don't mean as much sort of to the public from a top-down view. There's no question, but when your team goes to a bowl game, unless you're one of the very few teams that year in and year out thinks you're supposed to be in the playoff, and when you're not, it's a terrible thing. And look, maybe that's 12 fan bases, right?
Right.
But it's realistically should only be about five or six. But unless you're one of those, and it's a year when you really thought it was going to happen, then once you get to whatever bowl game, now, a lot of things play into that. This is not, but it's not anything new that if you had what you thought was a bad season and you went to a lesser bowl game than you thought you should, that's true anyway, but that's not new. But look, the bowls aren't going anywhere. They're just not going to be quite the same thing. That's sort of the point. There's still going to be a nice, consolation prize or a postseason reward for a decent season. But unless you go to the New Year's Six, unless you're in a semifinal, it's they're going to be seen as less than they once were.
Talking with George Schroeder, USA Today. Yesterday, you posted about Willie Taggart and the Oregon program. You were here for a firsthand view, and you got some one-on-one time. And we heard whispers last year, the locker room is broken, coaches had lost the guys. And when you're losing, they almost seem cliche, but you know, after making an evaluation and talking to some people, is it safe to say that Coach Taggart and some players kind of confirmed some of those rumors?
Well, they at least confirmed that that's what they're saying. And, you know, I mean, there's no way for me to really know that, but that's what they say.
Right.
That was the situation last year. And I don't have any reason to disbelieve them. And yeah, I've read the same reports by good reporters who've said, who've written those things and reported those things over the last, you know, 9 months or so since it really became apparent that there was something really wrong with the ship. And so, yeah, I mean, look, Willie Taggart said it was a fractured team. That's what he found, both in conversations with people about what was going on, and with just reviewing the film. You know, you reviewed the video just to see what you got coming back. But what he also saw was body language he didn't like at all. And then, you know, when he feels like he had a team that were maybe they didn't like each other very much when he first got there. And so, that's certainly his view.
You know, I've asked a lot of people who come on the show the same question, and I know it's speculating. You know, defensively, especially last year, Oregon wasn't struggling. They were as bad as anybody. It's only year one. You wrote that that depth chart has 33 freshmen or sophomores off a 4-win season. You know, kind of from your gut, what's realistic to expect improvement-wise this year?
Well, I don't see any reason why it shouldn't be a bowl team. They should not be 4-8. I think some of the four, rather than 6 or 7, had as much to do with the fracturing of that team and as anything else. So if you get the team together, and by the way, many of them are a year older, because they were young last year, right? It's not just the 33 freshmen or sophomores that are on the depth chart. Some of the sophomores played as freshmen, you know, so they're a year older in some cases. And I think there's some talent, not talent like what we've seen out of Oregon. It's still a jarring thing when you watch them and recognize it's not that somehow their recruiting fell off tremendously. And that's going to take a while to dig out of. And obviously, Willie Taggart and his staff are apparently doing a pretty good job right now of that. And you've got to keep doing it for 2 or 3 years, and then those guys all have to pan out. But long answer to your short question, listen, I think 7 wins, maybe 8, is not a bad expectation. I think the idea that they would, and look, this doesn't happen in a vacuum. I mean, what they're trying to do, even if it's just to get back to a bowl game, they're trying to do it in a much more difficult Pac-12 North than it was a couple of years ago. I mean, you don't need me to tell you that Washington is back in a big way. Anybody who thought Stanford was anything less than a normal Stanford team, look, Rice isn't very good. But Stanford just dominated down in Sydney last weekend, 62-7. I think that shows you they're going to be pretty good. I think a lot of people were like, hey, without Christian McCaffrey, well, look, they got a big offensive line. I think the quarterback plays going to be okay, and Bryce Love can flat run the football.
Yep.
So I think they're going to be fine. So right there, that's before we ever talk about Washington State, which is a very dangerous team that may be underrated at this point. So, to me, to expect a whole lot more than 7 or 8 wins is, you know, hey, I'll be the first person to be excited if that happens, because that'd be really cool. But it's tough.
No, the landscape is just different. On the site under one of your articles, you spoke about some of the impact quarterbacks to keep an eye out for this season. And I know we spoke about JT Barrett, and it just seems because of the Clemson loss, the shutout, there's this perception that he struggled last year when he was first-team All-Big Ten, Big Ten quarterback of the year. But you think he could be even better this year. What are some of the factors that go into that?
Well, first of all, I don't think he was nearly as good last year as he was as a redshirt freshman in 2014 when they won the title.
Right.
Of course, he broke his foot there in the Michigan game, final game of the regular season that year. But he was the Big Ten's Offensive Player of the Year. I don't think he was nearly that good last year. However, he wasn't bad. And some of their offensive problems were systemic, and some of them stemmed from the fact that they didn't have receivers who could get downfield, so they didn't have a vertical pass game. And a lot of their problems stem from the fact that their offensive line just flat wasn't very good by elite team standards, and that made it a lot tougher for them to do things. I think they're going to be better in all those departments, and I think the addition of Kevin Wilson, the former Indiana coach, look, that guy's as good an offensive coordinator as has been in the college game in a long time. When he was at Oklahoma in the mid to late 2000s, yep, that's when they were putting up those record numbers with the Sam Bradfords of the world. Well, he's going to be working with similar talent, not necessarily a quarterback, because JT's not an NFL guy, but all over the roster, kind of like those Oklahoma teams had. And he's going to, it's kind of like if you gave Chip Kelly a bunch of fabulous toys on offense. That's a lot like, that's what Kevin Wilson's like. So I actually think between him and then Ryan Day, their quarterback's coach that they brought in, who had been, by the way, with Chip Kelly in the NFL, I think they've got every chance to be way better on offense. And I think that starts with JT Barrett. And I think he's got a chance to make people remember, oh, yeah, I remember that guy. He was really good back in 2014.
All right, a couple of final thoughts for George Schroeder of USA Today, who will be in Atlanta for one of the biggest openers I can recall, Alabama and Florida State, who over the past 4 years have won national titles and only played major bowls. And history says LSU 2007, the only national title winner with two losses. But when you look at this game this season, how legit are the scenarios where the loser of this game, if it's close and followed up with just one regular season slip-up, can still sneak their way into the playoff?
Well, I mean, so you're talking about a two-loss team. Let me just start by this. The loser of this game, if it runs the table after the loss, I don't care what the size of the loss is. They're going to make the playoff.
Okay.
Either one, Florida State or Alabama, as a 12-1 ACC or SEC champion is getting in. Now, your scenario, which is one that I wrote about and is interesting, which is they, you know, one of them loses in this game and then loses another game along the way in conference play. Let's say it's a tight, that both of the losses are competitive losses, and that that second loss, the one in conference play, is to a really good conference team. If that's the case, then I think you're looking at the chance that, you know, like a top 10 team, then I think you're looking at a very real chance that they would get in with two losses. And perhaps their resume would be seen better by the committee than, say, a 12-1 Washington, which didn't have a good non-conference game. And I'm not trying to pick on Washington, or a 12-1 Oklahoma State that, you know, didn't have a great non-conference win, or somebody like that. I think there's every chance you could see a two-loss team get in ahead of one of those other conference champions. Now, they do have to go on and win their conference. That's
right.
The other key. So
sure.
If you're Florida State and you lose to Clemson, that means you lose the division. Well, you're not going to get in, probably.
Right.
Because I think we've seen a non-champion now get in, but I think the first two-loss team will clearly be a conference champion.
All right, and lastly, Bama's been covered to death, but Florida State, you know, they took a bit of a hit on offense, Dalvin Cook to the Vikings, their leading receiver, Travis Rudolph, their top left tackle, another NFL pick, Roderick Johnson. So is this defense looking that good? And with DeAndre Francois, the ACC Rookie of the Year at quarterback, how legit is this team to be in the playoff mix? Because, you know, they have to play at Clemson this game, at Florida as well.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think we'll find out. Let me just say this. I have a feeling Ohio State might be better than either of these teams by the time it's all said and done. Now,
right.
Famous last words, and come November, you can have callers line up and just, like, ridicule me for everything. You know, Oregon's 12-0 and Florida State's terrible and Ohio State's tremendous, you know, it loses four games or whatever. But let me say this. I think Florida State's defense is going to be fantastic, and the return of Derwin James to the back end of that defense at safety, and he's a guy that can play every position, they say, on defense, and they're only half kidding. Let me put it this way. If he went to cornerback, he'd be the nation's best cornerback. You don't often say that about a safety, but he's the kind of guy who can play one of these hybrid linebacker safety roles that you see in some schemes. He is so good, and he was injured early last year, and they were still a decent defense. I think he gives them a versatility and makes their defense so much more dangerous that they have every chance to be as good a defense as there is.
Well, I would agree with that, and I was actually reading a story about him. That is a big game to open up the season. You travel safe to Atlanta. Enjoy the opening weekend. Always appreciate your time and look forward to catching up next week as we dive in headfirst to college football season.
Man, I cannot wait. Thanks a lot.
All right, take it easy, George.